good to know that the Lord still saves, isn't it? Praise His holy name. I think I've got my sermon wrote out. I think I've found the page. I want to turn tonight to the book of the 2 Kings and the chapter 6. I didn't even mark the place in the Bible. I've got a new cover on the Bible, and it is hard to keep the Bible open because the cover wants to close. And it's wanting to close the Bible all the time. But if you bear with me, I just want to read 7 verses here. And a 2 Kings and chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And this is a well known portion of scripture. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. And ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts tonight. Our Father, we bless your name. We thank you for the songs we have been singing. We thank you especially tonight that Jesus saves.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you and praise you for every good gift and every perfect gift, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us. We ask you, Lord, tonight that you would come and speak to us again from your word. And we just pray for your help, Lord. And as the pastor would say, we take that blessed Holy Spirit tonight, Lord. We recognize our need for you to help us. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you now, Lord. And we ask that you would come and visit with us, Lord. That you would minister to us your grace and your mercy and your power again. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. And for thy glory, amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats. And I hope you're comfortable tonight in the house of the Lord. And also that you're relaxed. But also I hope that, as has been prayed and both said, that the Lord will come and minister to us and speak to your heart tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, I said it's a well-known portion of Scripture, and it is a portion of Scripture that you have heard spoke about often, I'm sure. And I'm sure there's other people, the pastor and Billy and maybe Gary, some of the men have spoken from this portion of Scripture before. And I have got a title tonight that I have come up with for this reading. And the title is the Cutting Edge. Now, I don't know if anybody else has had that, or if somebody else, maybe they have. I know Tommy was preaching once, and he said if the axe is blunt, you're going to have to use more force. But I want to speak tonight about the cutting edge. And I want to look at the man who was using the axe. Now we know that Elisha was there, the prophet of God was there, and God done a miracle when he made the axe to swim.
Amen.
Or he made it to float. But outside of the miracle that he done there, I want to look at this man who was using the axe. Each one of us has an opportunity while we live on earth to use that axe. And whether we realize it or not, sometimes we don't realize it, but we have opportunity to use it. And let me say this, whenever you have the season, you need to use it. When you have the time, you need to take the time and you need to use that axe.
Amen.
Now, not starting to go all over the place, but I want to say that this man that was using the axe, there's lots of things you could say about him, but the first thing that I want to say about him is, he knew when he lost it. Now you might say, sure, that's very simple. It is very simple. But he knew that he had lost the axe. And what is, when I say that to you, if you start to reason, if you start to think about it, what does that tell you? It tells you that if he could have known that he had lost it, he must have had it known the day he got it.
Amen.
Is that right or is that wrong?
Amen.
The day that he got that axe, he knew he got it. He didn't get it not knowing that he had it.
Amen.
There's no such a thing as you getting the Holy Ghost and not knowing that you don't have it. Let me say that again. There's no such a thing as you getting the Holy Ghost and not knowing that you haven't got it. You can't have the Holy Ghost and not know it. Now, you might think that's strange, but I tell you, I believe that's the Bible.
Amen.
Now, there was a day when this man got the axe. There was a day when he got it. There was a day in his life. There was a time in his life when he didn't have this axe. And how do I know that? Well, we have read it. You know, when you read something, immediately you start to forget maybe what you have saw. But some takes the Holy Ghost to quicken it to you.
Amen.
There was a day when this man got the axe, and he didn't only get it, it was loaned to him. He didn't own it. He got the loan of it. Now, I'm giving him full marks. I'm giving him full marks. First of all, because he wanted it, he had a desire for it. He had a desire for to use this instrument. He had a desire for the cutting edge.
Amen.
Now, what is the cutting edge? The cutting edge in biblical terms is the power of God.
Amen.
That's the cutting edge. The cutting edge is the Holy Ghost coming on a man or coming on a woman. That's the cutting edge. That's the thing that makes the difference. Now, my first point, and you know, I'm working tonight with the 3-4 plow. Because I have 3 points on it. And you know, I hope she's not a 3-4 reversible. For the 3-4 reversible, the way she works, what you start off with, you finish up with the opposite. The farmer's plan of a 3-4 reversible, he's going down the field one way, and the next thing he's coming up the other way. Now, that's true, but don't worry about that. Just thought I'd drop that in. You see, he knew he had lost it. He knew right away he had lost it. What is worse than that? What is worse than knowing that you have lost it? Do you know what is worse? You know, but I'm reminding you that you don't know that you have lost it. That's worse.
That's right.
Is that worse or is it? What do you think about it?
Yeah.
That's worse tell you today, we ought to be in revival.
Amen.
We ought to be in revival. Let me say, I give this man full marks. Why am I giving him full marks? Because he said the place that they were in, I had been in it long enough, and it was too straight for them, and they were going to do a bit of outreach. Mm-hmm. It tells me about outreach. And when they told the prophet they were going to go, the prophet didn't say, no, sit you down there, you boy, and don't you move. He said, go on. He said, go on, go. He said, come with us. And then he said, I will go. So there's outreach, sir. What about the cutting edge and outreach today? I want to know where it is. I want to know where it is in message churches. And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. But I'm here to say what the Bible says. I want to know where the outreach is. I want to know where the cutting edge is. See, when this man lost it, he knew immediately. Mm-hmm. He knew immediately. Why did he know? Well, if you don't have the cutting edge, you're non-effective. You're non-effective. What do you do? You're spending your time to achieve nothing. How many times have we spent our time to achieve nothing? I'm not accusing anyone in here tonight. This is for me. This is for me. How many times have we spent our time to achieve nothing? You know, anybody can achieve nothing. It's not hard to achieve nothing. But this man knew he was achieving nothing the moment the head came off the axe. The moment the head came off that axe, he knew he was wasting his time. He knew he would have to stop. He knew he couldn't go any farther. He knew there wouldn't be any increase. You know what they were trying to do? Build a church. They're building a dwelling place. Can you imagine that man going down and getting the loan of that axe? I want you to imagine him. Who did he get it at? We're not told. That's not important. But we know where the axe comes from. Don't we? The Lord has the axe. The Lord's the one that gives you the axe. He's the one that loans you the gift. He's the one that gives you the gift. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
Amen.
But could you imagine this man going down to get the loan of that axe, and then somehow the guy comes out and he's like me, and he's a grey beard, and the grey up the top, and maybe he does need a shave, but he's a little soul grey boy comes out, and he hands him the axe. And he says, just before you go, I want to show you what I have done with that axe. Or no, sorry, I want to show you what that axe has done for me. And he brings them over to this great house. And he shows them the great house that's built. And he says, every piece of wood that's in there, that axe hewed it out. Every soul that's in there, it came because of that axe. Every mark that was made for Jesus, it came because of that axe. Yes. There's a house standing there today because of what that axe has done. You getting the picture? Yeah. Now maybe that didn't happen. But it could have happened. It could have happened. And why did he go for it in the first place? He knew he needed it. He knew he needed it. If you're going to cut wood now, I know you could go for a chainsaw. There was no chainsaws there. But supposing there had been a chainsaw, would somebody hand him a saw without a chain? Would somebody hand him an axe without a head? It's hand him the shaft. You know, some people today, that you see, this man, he knew immediately.
Amen.
He had lost it. He knew immediately.
Yes.
Why? The worst thing, the only thing worse than that is not known. Not known. You know, there's people tonight and they don't know whether they have the axe head or not. They're not sure. You know, I said this recently to someone, I don't know who I said it to, when Brother Brian Freeborn was over, that how I was down with Leon Long in Exeter, and there was a brother came to see him, and he was called George, and he was, well, Brother Leon was 74 years old, and this man, George, was an older man, and he came in and he sat down to talk, and in the conversation had come round about the Holy Ghost. And he said to Brother Leon, he had been going to churches and going to the Message Church for years. And he said he didn't know if he had the Holy Ghost or not. He didn't know. He's being honest. He said he didn't know if he had it or not. He said he never had any experience of it. Didn't know. You know, Brother Leon tried to convince him that he had it. But he said he still didn't know if he had it or not. See, this day when this man went and got this axe. Now you might say, John, that axe doesn't represent the Holy Ghost. Well, it represents the cutting edge.
Amen.
And in the Bible, the Holy Ghost is the cutting edge.
Yeah.
The power of God.
Right.
Let me say this. I may have said this before, but I'm going to say it again. There isn't any substitute for the power of God.
Amen.
There's nothing that can replace it. It's special.
Amen.
It is special.
Amen.
And it's what we need as believers. It's what we need as a church. We need the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying we haven't got it, but I'm saying that we need it. Praise the Lord. You know, I give this man full marks. What am I giving him full marks for? I'm giving him full marks for the operation of the gift. I'm giving him full marks for using the axe. I'm not condemning him. I can't condemn him. Why would I condemn? Now, I heard a man preach a sermon once, and I tell you, he was a better preacher than me, and he preached a sermon about the head of the axe coming loose, and it came loose, and the next thing he knew, it was gone. And you know, he brought it out in that sermon that how it was a gradual process. You know, them things are right, probably. It was a gradual process, the loosening of the axe head. You know, the devil doesn't mind if you come to church all the time, really. But he's really glad if you miss a meeting. Did you know that? He's really glad if you miss a meeting. And then he's even more glad if you miss another meeting. And to keep on missing till you've missed a whole series of meetings. He's happy. He wants to take you a wee bit at a time away. He just doesn't want to snatch the axe head off you. He wants to do it gradually. Take it away a wee step, a wee bit here and a wee bit there, till he gets you that you're unarmed.
Sure.
What about that sermon, armed and dangerous?
Amen.
See, the devil's laughing when you're not armed. You're defenseless. You can do nothing about it. You know, I had a debate one time with a free pea, and I was very bold, for I didn't call him a free pea, I called him a frozen pea. And I said, the difference in you and a Pentecostal is this, It says, when you go into a room with a man that's demon-possessed, you can do nothing for him. But it says, a man that has the Holy Ghost can cast that devil out.
Amen. That's the truth.
And without the Holy Ghost, there's no demons going out. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no demons disturbed. They can sit through all the teaching they want, you want to hear. They can sit through all the revelations you want to hear. But they can't sit through the power of God. They can't sit through the anointing. Because the Bible tells me when Jesus went into the temple, there was a man there with an unclean spirit. And he recognized the power of God. And he cried out, Jesus, we know you who you are, the Holy One of God. Art thou come to torment us before the time? I tell you, the devil knows when you have got the cutting edge.
Amen.
He knows when you've got the cutting edge. Now I said, I give this man full marks. Why did I give him full marks? I give him full marks for using the gift. And he didn't ever use them in the back room. Are you hearing me? He never used them in the back room. He used them while he was moved by the Holy Ghost. He captured the moment, and he didn't have a camera. He done it when the unction of the Holy Ghost came on him, and he didn't use God in the gift. God had to use him in the gift. That's the difference.
Amen.
See, the power of God comes on you. You need to do something. You have to do something. Now, I have given full marks for the operating of the gift, and I've written it down here. Was he using it the right way? Was he using it the right way? Yes, he was. He was using it the right way. Was it his fault that the head came off the axe? I've written that down also. Now, let me say, before I go on to that, let me say this. If he hadn't went with the sons of the prophets, he may never have used it. He wasn't prepared to sit still. But he was prepared to go out and do something. He was not prepared for to sit down on his laurels. He was not prepared to relax and to sit back and to fold his arms and watch the world go by. But he was ready to go. And I've written down here, if we're willing to ask God to give us something, we need to be prepared to use it. Amen. And we need to be prepared to go. So I'm not condemning the man for using the gift. I'm not condemning him for using the cutting edge. And I'm not saying how fast he was. I'm not saying how slow he was. And the Bible doesn't say anything about how fast he was or how slow he was. But it does tell you that he used it. And God's not wanting you to be faster. He's maybe not wanting you to be slow. He's wanting you to have your own pace. But he's wanting you to do something. He's wanting you to use it. Cutting edge. That's what he wants. I believe that. Now, I've written it down here. Whose fault was it when the head of the axe came off? Whose fault was it? I'm not blaming him. Because if he had left that axe at home, it wouldn't have done nothing. Wouldn't have done anything. But the fact that he was there, and the axe was there, he was using it. And then the head comes off the axe. And he knew immediately that the head had came off. Well, you'd be really silly if you didn't. But he knew immediately at the head that came off this axe. But there's something about this man. And I want to say this about him. The head comes off the axe. You never read anything in here where he complained about that axe. You don't read that he went up to Elisha and said, I borrowed that axe of that old boy. and it was no good. And Lisa says, what do you mean it was no good? Well, sure, the head came off it. It didn't work.
Yes.
It didn't work. You don't read that. You don't read that he said, oh boy, it was a gift, that you had the loan of it, but there's a better way. Don't read that. You don't read anything where that man complained about the axe. He never condemned the axe. He never said, that's no good. He never said, that's not working. And he didn't say, it'll not work. But the minute that it was gone, he suffered loss. So you see, what was he working with? He was working with something that he did not manufacture himself. Now I don't know, I know this people could have made an axe, but I don't believe this man could have made an axe. He maybe could have made, I know this man in here could make the shaft, the timber. And maybe you know, maybe there's some man in here, I'm wrong, could make a good try at making the axe head. There's men that could do that, I'm sure there is. If you had a forge and if you had the bellows, you know, blowing. Some young people maybe doesn't know what the bellows is. But the bellows is the wind that stores up the fire. I tell you, we need the bellows to come in church. It's the wind of the Holy Ghost, and it stores up the fire. And when it stores up the fire, things start to hot up. And when things start to hot up, God's people can bend, and God's people can move, and they lose their stiffiness, and they lose their starchiness, and they start to do things that they maybe wouldn't normally do, like shout praise the Lord, or shout hallelujah, and get the power of God, and the power over the devil.
Yes, amen.
But this equipment was first class. That's what I'm saying about it. I'm saying this equipment was first class, and this man never complained about it. You know, when he went down, let me say this to you. The equipment didn't belong to him. He never manufactured it. Now you can try to manufacture a gift. And let me tell you this. You're wasting your time. You can't manufacture a gift. God has to give it to you.
Amen.
And when God gives it to you, it's the real thing, and it's not Coca-Cola, and you'll not have to try to do it, for God will do it.
Amen.
Now that's the genuine article. Now, let me say this, that when you have the genuine article, you have the power of God, and you have something that you never earned it, or you never worked for it, you got it as a gift. It's a gift from God. You hadn't to try to manufacture it. This man had not to try to manufacture the axe. He went and he got the loan of it. And he possessed it. And it was as good to him as if it was his own. Is that right or is that wrong? You know, if you had a car that you didn't need and somebody needed a car and you said, take that car and keep it as long as you want. I don't need it. Well, if they took you at your word and they took the car and used it as long as they wanted it, wouldn't it be as if they owned it? Well, that's the way God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. That's the way God wants to give his people the gifts. And this man could recognize that he had something that he never manufactured. Now, let me say, whenever the axe head came off, I'm saying that it wasn't the man's fault. Because if he hadn't used it, it wouldn't have came off. Some people are afraid to use the gift. They're afraid. Say, oh, this mightn't work. The head might come off. Don't be afraid. Use what God has given you. Use the cutting edge. Amen. Cutting edge. Well, you see, it is important that the cutting edge is there, and it came off. And you know, I've written down here that it's not really important that it came off when the man was using it, but what is important is he wanted it back. Wanted it back again. He wanted to get the axe head back again. And his concern was that he had lost something which he didn't know. You know, let me just drop this in. We're responsible for the lost. We're responsible for the lost. You know that? We're responsible. You know, there's an old story told, and I have to hurry, I'm slowing up too much. There's an old story told years ago about the Lord. It said that the Lord went back to heaven and he sat down at the Father's right hand, and when he sat down, all the angels gathered around him. And the angels started talking, telling him about what he had done on the earth. And they said, Lord, you done good that you died on the cross. And Lord, you done good that you're going to send the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said, yes, it was good. I died on the cross and I rose again. And yes, it's good. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And they said to him, well, what about them men that you chose? He said, them men's all right, them men's good, them men's going to preach the gospel. Them men's going to be my witnesses till the dying world. And it is said that one of the angels looked at the Lord. Now, this is only a story. It is said that one of the angels looked at the Lord and said, Lord, what happens if these men don't preach the gospel? What happens if these men don't preach your gospel? What happens if after a few years if they say we've found a better way? We're not preaching the gospel no more. What happens? And it's said that the Lord just looked at them and said, I haven't got any other plans. I haven't got any other plans. Now you think about that. God's plan was through the foolishness of preaching the gospel to save them that believe. That's the cutting edge.
Amen.
That's the cutting edge. That's what makes the difference. And sure, this man then, you see, he had a concern. And you know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, and you needn't turn to it, but in Exodus 22 and 14, if you borrowed something, you were responsible. If it was an animal and it died, you had to replace it. If it was anything, and it was stolen, and the man who owned it wasn't there, you had to replace that. So when this man got that, he got a responsibility. And he did not decline from his responsibility. You know, today there's too much willy-nilly where you're not held accountable. Let me say this, when God gives you anything, he'll hold you accountable for what he's given you. I'm talking about the axe head now. I'm talking about the cutting edge. If God, if you ask him for this cutting edge and he loans it to you, he lets you have it for a time, you're going to be responsible, you're going to be accountable, you're going to have to answer for what you've done with it. I believe that. I don't believe we're coming into the condemnation judgment, but I believe God's going to judge us. And let me tell you this, God's not going to ask you, you're going to tell him. I can say that to you tonight. You're going to tell him. And the Bible does say that every one of us will give an account of himself before God. I believe it. I believe that. You'll not change me. Now, maybe it's for the better. I don't know. Now, I need to move on. This man had a desire for it. The next question I'm asking a lot of questions. Why did he get the axe head back? Why did he get it back again? And why did he want it back again? Well, he was responsible for it, wasn't he? But there's something about this axe head. I'm going to say what it is. It's very simple. It's the original.
Amen.
It's the original. It's not, he wasn't going to be satisfied with a replica. He wasn't going to be satisfied with what do you call that other one? A decoy. You know? He could have got a plastic one. He could have got one where you use it and you throw it away. A disposable. You know, a man said to me one day, we're living in a disposable world. And so it's true. You buy a TV and it's only meant, you get a phone, you know it's meant to do a year. A phone. That's all it's meant to do, a mobile. A phone. Disposable. Throw it away and get another one. Get a washing machine. She's only guaranteed until the guarantee goes up. And some of them mightn't even make the guarantee. What do? Well, it's cheaper to buy a new one than it is to get a man to fix her. Now, I hope you don't work at washing machines. But you couldn't pay some of them boys. It costs more to fix an old one than it is to buy a new one. What is it? Disposable one. Get yourself a disposable one. Get yourself one and you use it a time or two and you throw it away.
Yep.
You see, the devil, he likes all them disposable equipment, doesn't he? Because he can sell you another new one. The latest, have you heard the latest? We used to have an old joke and we used to say, it's not out yet. The latest is not out yet. But this man wasn't going to settle for anything else. Only what the original was. He wanted it back. He wanted it back. He wanted it back. He wanted to get it back again. He wanted that one.
Yes.
Another one wouldn't do. You know, now what happens then? You know, there's nothing, I've written it down here. There's nothing that can replace the original.
Amen.
There's nothing that can replace the original. Don't tell me you don't need the Holy Ghost. For if you do, you're telling me that God made a mistake when he gave it. And don't tell me that you don't need the gifts. For if you do, you're telling me that God made a mistake when he gave the gifts.
Amen.
And don't tell me that you don't need to preach the gospel. For then you're telling me that God made a mistake when he said it had pleased him to save them that would believe through the foolishness of preaching the gospel. So don't tell me that there's another way, or don't tell me that there's another scheme, or don't tell me that there's something else that will do the same job and do it better, for God doesn't have any other equipment. He doesn't have anything else to give you. Now, I know some people talk about Brother Branham, and Brother Branham was a man sent from God, and I have the spirit of Elijah on him, and some people say that he wasn't working with the gifts that contained in the book of Corinthians. Well, why he was working with them, or why he wasn't working with them, that doesn't concern you, and that doesn't concern me. You're to work with the gifts that's in the book of Corinthians. That's the gifts that God gave to the church, and God has sent some in the church. Didn't they say that?
Amen.
Of course, they are prophets and pastors and teachers, evangelists, and so on.
Amen.
God set them. Now I said the man barred the axe. You know, it wasn't working with his own. You're not working with your own when you're working with the gifts of God.
Amen.
You're working with God's gifts. They're God's gifts. The gifts of God are without repentance. Not the gifts of somebody that has a smart brain here that can work things out. No. Not the gifts of somebody that has great intelligence. No. Not the gifts of somebody that knows all the mysteries. No. The gifts of God. God owns the gifts.
Amen.
Amen.
They're his gifts. So So that's why we need to be responsible. This man, you know, he went to the prophet. And verse 5 is really the verse that I was trying to concentrate on. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was barred." He only had a when you read it was barred, you know what it tells you? It tells you that he had an appointed time to use it. Did you know that? It was barred. And he had an appointed time to use that axe. Now, he could have took it home, and he could have dug a hole in the ground, and he could have buried it. Couldn't he? He could have said, "If anything happens to that, I'm responsible." He could have hidden away and nobody would ever have saw it. Couldn't he? He could have said, "Oh, boy, look at the size of that tree. I don't think that axe would cut it down." He could have said, "Oh, somebody else, let somebody else use their axe. I'm not using this one." But he was under time. We're under time tonight, aren't we? We're not here forever. You know, every one of us, there's something about every one of us. We're getting older. Isn't that right? We're spending our time. God wants us to spend our time wisely. And the fact that this was barred tells me that this man had a lot of time to use it, but also he was responsible for what he had had, and he was responsible for the use of it. And he said to the man of God, he said, "Alas, master." Oh, boy, I tell you something, he wanted to get his attention. He was concerned. He was concerned. Could you imagine him chopping the tree down with the shaft of the hatchet? Could you imagine him continuing just with the shaft, just with the piece of timber? Could you imagine it cutting down the tree? No. Wasn't going to work. But what did Elisha say to him? What did Elisha say to him when he told him? He said, "You know, it's a lost master, for he said it's borrowed." And you know, I'm not bringing this across the way it's in the scripture. The Bible says, and if you look at verse 5 and you look at it closely, you'll see that it fell into the water. And what is the next thing you read? It said he cried. He cried. I tell you, if you'd have been on the riverbank that day, you would have heard him. Because he knew there was something he needed to get his hands on. He cried. You know what's wrong with people today? They've lost the cry. Don't really matter about it. You see, when he came down to Elisha, he said it was barred. And he was really putting the case forward. He was letting Elisha know how he felt about it. That man was upset. That man wasn't going to sleep that night. That man was concerned. Yes, he had lost something. He'd lost the cutting edge. He'd lost the ability. See, the Bible says, and he cried. It wasn't just a whisper. He didn't just take out the mobile phone and send him a text message. He didn't do that. He cried. He'd done all in his power. He cried. Tell him, he said, "Alas. Alas, master. Alas." That's an alert. Alas is an alert. The lights were flashing. The oil light was on. You heard this morning about the oil. I tell you, the oil light come on this man's screen. When that axe head went in that water, he looked and he saw the oil light was on. It wasn't flashing. It was on full time. And he was running, as it were, an empty head. And he starts to cry out because it's gone. can't do without it.
Amen.
He can't. He can do without it, but it's not going to work. He can do without it, but you're wasting your time. You know, Elisha didn't say, tell him, you weren't using it right. Elisha never accused him. I want you to get that. He never accused him one time. And verse 6 says, and the man of God said, where fell it? Now, the man of God didn't say, I'll tell you what we'll do here. We'll all club together and we'll get another one. Didn't say that, no. He didn't say, tell you what, that money that you were saving up, why don't you take it and buy one? He didn't say that. He wanted it back. He wanted it back too. Elisha wanted this axe head back. The man who was using it wanted it back. And Elisha wanted it back. What did Elisha do? Elisha do? He restored it. Back to the original. He brought it back to the original. And you know, it said that the man, and he showed him the place. You see, he showed him the place. He knew the place where it happened. He showed him the place. He said it fell in there. He showed him the place. He marked the spot. He marked the spot. He didn't forget about it. He marked the spot. He knew where he was when it happened. Just like the day he got it. He knew the day he got it and he knew the day he lost it. And he marked the spot. For he showed him the place. And Elisha said, where did it fall? Where fell it? And the Bible says he cut down a stick. He showed him the place. And he cut down a stick. You know, the Father showed Jesus the place. And he cut down a stick.
Amen.
When he went to the cross.
Amen.
He showed him the place. The place of a skull. What did the Bible say about him? It said he set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. Right up to the place where the Father showed him. And somebody had cut down a stick. An old rugged cross. And he nailed that there. He was nailed to that cross. And it became the substitute for your sins and for mine. It became the substitute for a dying world.
Amen.
It became the gospel of the New Testament. It became the blood of the everlasting covenant. It became the cutting edge. It became the antidote for sin. It became the Holy Ghost coming on men and coming on women. I tell you, God cut down a stick and he cast it in to this world.
Yes.
That the world might be saved.
Yes.
And Elisha cut down a stick that day and it represented Christ. That stick was Christ. That stick was Christ's representation to lift something that was sunk. I tell you, whenever you were sunk deep in your sin, he lifted you out. And if you're in this room tonight and you're down at the bottom, I tell you, he can bring you to the top. He can lift you up. And he can reach out his hand and lift you up.
Amen.
What did Elisha say to that man? He said, put forth your hand and take it up. Put forth your hand and take up a soul. Put forth your hand and take up the lost. Put forth your hand and take up the sick and take up the needy. Put forth your hand and take it. For it's already paid for.
Amen.
At a place called Calvary.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. You know, there was no replica. There was nothing else that would do. Only the original.
God give you the original.
Amen.
God give us the original.
Amen.
God give us the Holy Ghost. God give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He can make it happen. You know, the Bible says, and I need to finish it. He said he cast it in, that's the stick. He cut down a stick and cast it into the in feather. And the Bible says, and the iron did swim. The iron did swim. Oh, boy, came to the top. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand. And he took it. That's the best. That's the best part of that story. Did you know that? That's the best part of that story. You know, my wife came home tonight. And she said, oh boy, she said, I've lost my card, my bank card. And she says, I don't know where I've lost it. You know, I believe this is of the Lord. She said, I don't know where I've lost it. She says, it's my savings too. I didn't know she had savings. She says, I don't know where I've lost it. And she said, I've looked everywhere for it. And I've only just realised a while ago that I have lost it, but I've looked everywhere for it. And I opened up my wallet and I said, you probably give it to me. And she did. She had give it to me. Because there's nothing in her head, only buying a new mattress for the bed. And she wants to give me this card. She said, go you to the hole in the wall and lift the money out. But I never do what I'm told. So I never went to the hole in the wall. But I got her card in my wallet, and I didn't know I had it. But I had it in my wallet, and I opened my wallet, and I said, is that your card? And she was glad. You know, if you lost something and you get it back again. There was an old shepherd once, and he had 100 ewes, and he lost one. Didn't he? What did he do? He left the 90 and the 9. And he went looking for that one. And when he got it back, he rejoiced over it more than the other 99 that never done nothing wrong. The MR 99, he had a worm in the butter for them. It wouldn't melt in their mouth. They were so good. But there was one that went astray. And by the way, he got it back. He was glad. I tell you, God's glad when you get the gifts back.
Amen.
God's glad when you get the ex-head back. You know something? God's glad when you have the power of God.
Amen.
And God's glad when you have His power and you know you have it and you know that you can't work without it. He's glad. Oh, I'm glad when God's glad. And you know, Tommy often said it, I'm glad when the devil's mad.
Amen.
You know, whenever you are glad, the devil is mad.
Amen.
And whenever you're glad, the devil becomes sad. Praise the Lord. But I thank God tonight that He rejoices over you. And He rejoices over mere mortal man to give us His power. You know, why am I saying this tonight? I'm saying this so that you'll seek the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So that you'll seek for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you'll not be declined. You know, my card can say declined. I've been there. And I put it in and I asked for money and it said declined. No money there. Well, that's not really important. Some, you know, it does work. I know it works when it's there. When the gift's there, it's going to work. When the money's in the bank, it's going to work. You know, I need to come to a close. Will I turn to the book of Acts? Chapter 1. I'm not going to be keeping you very long. I'm coming to a close. This is the cutting edge.
And Book of Acts in chapter 1, verses 4, 5 and 8. In verses 4 we read these words, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus Christ, commanded them, this is the risen Saviour, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Right? That's what the Lord said. That's the word of God. And verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. All over the world. All over the world, God's Spirit is moving.
Amen.
And it says, ye shall. Now, I would take up too much time, and I'm not going to, but you know, if you wanted to go on, I believe I could go on tonight, and I could show you where Peter's addressing the Jews, and what actually Peter says to them, and I think it's Acts 3 and 25, it says, ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as, chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved, that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ, Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. I'll tell you, that's the early church. That's the original. That's what we need to have.
Amen.
And what did they preach? They preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They preached the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they preached the resurrection. And it says that the Sadducees were sad, and the chief priests, they came and they wanted them out of the temple. And being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I tell you today, if people are grieved when they hear about Jesus, there's something wrong.
Amen.
There's something wrong. Praise the Lord. I thank you for listening tonight. You've been very good. And maybe we could sing a wee chorus before Gary comes, or as Gary comes and our sister Alva comes tonight. Could we sing that wee chorus? Fill my cup, Lord.
Amen.
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up.
Amen.
And make me whole. Can you make it your prayer tonight? And you know, be encouraged. Be encouraged tonight. I hope I haven't discouraged you. I haven't come to discourage you, but I've come to try to encourage you. To seek after God. To seek after the Holy Ghost. To seek after that what the disciples had. To seek after the gifts of God for His glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand up to me and say,